This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. The highlights: Oakland upsetting Kentucky. John Calipari after that. We are Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. This is the story of the tournament so far. Kentucky, yet again, on the men's side, losing. Second time in 3 years, they've lost to a double-digit seed. And ESPN college basketball analyst Seth Greenberg, former head coach, joined us today on our show and said that John Calipari may have lost his edge a little bit.
I think the guys that really know him have seen a change in him, a kinder, gentler Cal in terms of how their teams play, more offensive-oriented Cal, although, you know, like when he said, like, you know, we knew the zone was going to give us a problem. I cannot believe he said that. But the perception of Cal is he's a terrific coach, but that he's always been ahead of the curve in terms of marketing, recruiting, NIL, and everything else. But he's lost a little bit of his edge in terms of living it 24/7.
Very interesting. He also gave a suggestion as to, this is Greenberg, as to what Coach Calipari needs to do now.
John Calipari's got to go back to old school John Calipari. Not swaggy Cal, old school Cal, where his teams were tough, physical, played with a chip, competed at a very high level, drew a line in the sand every play, and it was a team you did not want to play against. Right? That's who he needs to be, because last night they got punked.
So if you go from swaggy Cal to the old school edgy Cal, you're talking about specifically the UMass days where he was very successful, you're probably not producing as many NBA players. Do we think someone that has reached this level can actually do that?
That's hard, man. It's hard to eat when you're full. I mean, the goal is to always stay hungry. And for Coach Greenberg to come out there and said he's lost his edge in terms of living the game 24/7, wow. Like, that is powerful stuff. If that's the perception of Coach Cal in coaching circles, then you just wonder, if you're a Kentucky basketball fan, is your program going to get back to what we saw in the early and mid-2010s, which is Coach Cal making deep runs in the NCAA tournament and one of those runs resulting in winning the national title? I would have to say you have to have a degree of skepticism. I mean, I know, as painful as it may sound, because he is a beloved figure when it comes to that program, I don't know that he's going to be the one to get back to greatness and that greatness translate to hoisting banners in Adolph Rupp Arena. It just doesn't feel like that if he's, quote-unquote, lost his edge in terms of living the game 24/7.
Yeah, and I don't know how you put the toothpaste back in the tube in that manner if you're Coach Cal, because you have perfected recruiting high-level talent. Like, he does it as good as anybody in the country.
No doubt.
And you're bringing in these kids in a landscape now where they have options, they have more power than they've ever had, they're making money, and they have other schools who are willing to pay them X amount of dollars, right? Like, the certain edge that you have as once being Kentucky, there's more parity there than there ever was before.
Yes.
And I don't know how he goes from being the guy that woos all of these players to come to Kentucky to then turn around and coach them super tough with an edge and kind of like break them down in that way after he's built them up so much to get them to come there. I just don't know if the caliber of players that he's bringing there is going to be open to that type of coaching. I don't know. I'm not within that building, within that program. But I would imagine if that's not what they're used to, it's very hard to reverse course.
The interesting part about this is if you think of some of the players that he has in the NBA, right? Devin Booker, I think he could handle it. Jamal Murray, he could handle it. Bam Adebayo, we know can handle it. Right?
Like,
he,
but it's, could they handle it back then?
Right.
Could you handle it at 18, 19 years old?
Probably not, because how many can? Right? Unless you know I'm going to be here for 4 or 5 years, and I know the way that my coach is on me today is going to help me tomorrow when I'm in this exact same situation. Most of Calipari's players, there is no tomorrow. The tomorrow is in the NBA.
Yeah, but I guess I'm just thinking this thing through. If you're recruiting one-and-done talented players anyway, what precludes you from coaching them hard if you know that they're going to be gone no matter what? It's not as if I'm trying to retain them for next season. They're probably going to the NBA anyway.
That's a great point.
So why wouldn't I coach them hard? Like, it's even more incentive to coach them hard. But I think a part of this is his approach lending itself to being able to have these guys as a part of his family and ergo his basketball network, right? Because the best publicity, the best advertisement that I can give one of these prep players is Anthony Davis's phone number or Devin Booker's phone number or Tyrese Maxey's phone number. Are those guys, once they transition to the pro ranks, going to be picking up Coach Cal's phone when he asked them to help him recruit these young guys that could potentially be the lifeblood for Kentucky basketball's program? Mm-hmm. Like, I just, that's the part of it that becomes dicey. But if you're Kentucky, if you're the administration, if you're the athletic director, that's a part of why it's such a hard decision to let him go. It's not just about the $33 million buyout that he would be owed, but it's about your program doing better in terms of accessing a network of NBA players that allows you to continue to recruit talent. Mm-hmm. Because say what you want, you want the more talented players when you're trying to compete for regular season titles, conference championship tournaments, and the NCAA tournaments. Like, I get it's great to have guys that have been there 3 or 4 years, but if you give any coach his choice of talent over longevity, I think there are a lot of coaches that will prefer to have the talent versus the guy that's been there 4 years.
Right.
So the reason that I don't think the hard coaching has the kind of impact that it needs to is because I think that leadership is like, you set the standard if you're the coach. This is how we're going to operate. But then it has to be the players that do a lot of the work, right? So if you think about a player that's going to be there for 3, 4, 5 years, they're holding the other players accountable.
Yeah, because they have ownership in the program. They got more skin in the game. They've been there longer.
Sure. And they're gone now after a year.
Yeah.
Right? When you get to the Giants and guys like Tuck are there for years who learned from Strahan or whatever, like, there's some level of Coughlin doesn't have to do all of it. When you get to the Ravens, same kind of thing.
There's a string.
There's a connection. And it doesn't, like, you don't have to reteach it every single year because the players are part of the culture. The players understand, you want to come in here. I've been through all of this. I'm now in year 3. It's not as hard for me to do this, and I'm going to bring you with me. And you, in essence, have to do it once if you're Calipari in that spot, right? Versus every single year. It's probably exhausting for the coach to do it every single – Tom Izzo doesn't have to do it every single year because he doesn't have a ton of one-and-done guys. The players kind of do a lot of the bidding for him, which is probably why you see success, not championships necessarily, but more success than Calipari in the postseason.
So you're saying that Coach Cal could be burnt out?
Do you want to do it every year?
I'm just asking you a question. Is that what you're insinuating or intimating?
It's not burnt out as much as I don't understand how you go from I'm coaching at UMass to get to Kentucky to I'm going to set up a practice at Drake's house and practice like I was at UMass. How do you do that? I don't know, right? I don't know how you go about doing that because that's what Seth Greenberg told us on our show today. And the clips we just played, trust me, they're going to make some waves today because he's kind of, in a professional, respectful way, calling out Calipari. I just don't know how you get back to being the UMass coach while at Kentucky, while practicing at Drake's house. That's literal, not figurative. Yeah. He literally held a practice at Drake's house.
But you know what, though? What Coach Greenberg said actually explains a whole lot. It helps me fill in the gaps. It paints the pictures. Because when you start talking about a team the last 3 years that hadn't been able to get out of the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, you're talking about a team that doesn't have an edge. It doesn't. It doesn't have the sense of urgency, the amount of intensity that you need in order to win this time of year. The mental toughness, the physical toughness, mm-hmm. the emotional toughness.
But it also doesn't carry over, CC. Think about it. Like, it's not like next year they're going to go in and be like, we got to avenge a loss to Oakland because these guys won't be here.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. If you're with a guy for 6 months, the entirety of the season, a part of it is going to be through osmosis, right? Just being around a coach that has a chip on his shoulder. Like, you can't help but have that same chip when you're a player. Like, it's going to happen. I mean, when I had a transition from George Welsh to Al Groh in college, it didn't take long for us to have that same chip that Al Groh had at UVA. It just didn't. So you could get it. And again, all of it was new for us because that was a new head coach mm-hmm. at that program. And yet we got that chip. And I guess my whole point is, if Cal doesn't have the chip, if he doesn't have the edge, why are we to expect the players to have the edge? They're not going to have it.
Of course
not. And that's what we're seeing from these Kentucky basketball teams. Immensely talented. Again, they got 5 freshmen on this team that were in the top 25 recruits a year ago. 5 of them. And they can't find a way to get out of the first weekend of the tournament. I mean, Dillingham and Shepherd are going to be lottery picks. Like, those guys are like that's how good they are. They're going to be draft picks. And those guys can't get out of the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, and beyond that, you lose to Oakland, a 14 seed, with Jack Golkey. It's the Jack Golkey show? Really? That's a team that doesn't have an edge. And it's because, based on the explanation that Seth Greenberg gave us, the coach doesn't have an edge.
The irony is the one person outwardly supporting the way in which the Kentucky program operates is the head coach of the team that beat them last night, Greg Campy, who joined us earlier on our show here at Unsportsmanlike and had this to say about John Calipari.
I think John Calipari is one of the, if not the best coach in college basketball. I think he's one of them. As coaches, you go through some ruts. I don't care if you're at Kentucky or at Oakland. There's going to be some years that you just can't get done what you believe as a coach you should get done. Now, at Kentucky, they're going to be a little more cruel than they are at Oakland. And so I'm sure people are coming after him. I mean, I felt awful for him. But if you don't think he wants to win a national championship, and if you don't think he wants to win and hang banners, everybody's wrong. He does. And it's just sometimes you go through droughts. He will get them back, and I wouldn't doubt they win the national championship next year. That's who that guy is, and he's great.
I got to be honest, I would doubt that they win the national championship next year, Coach Campy. I mean, I don't know how you could sit here. You know how we say about the Chiefs, like, oh, you just got to pick them and worry about the rest?
Yeah.
It's like the opposite with Kentucky. Like, you can't pick them to win a championship. You can pick them to have the most lottery picks. You can't pick them. You can't consciously pick them to win a championship now.
But thinking about the fact that they have NBA talent on that team and a coach who's won before, the fact that you're saying you can't pick them is actually outrageous when you think about it.
Would you? Blindly?
But something is clearly missing. If you have those ingredients and it's not resulting in success.
Jonathan Givony has an article that he put out on .com, and it says the players in the NCAA tournament that we're going to see drafted in the NBA. Mm-hmm. The top two players, Dillingham and Reed Shepherd. The top two players on his list of 50 players.
And they're both Dillingham, on the bench. At Dillingham and Shepherd. They don't even start.
No, I'm just saying.
I know, but think about that.
That's the kind of talent that Kentucky is bringing to the party. And you can't get out of the first weekend of the big dance?
But that's the critique.
Wild.
That's the critique. Wild.
It is actually crazy.
It's wild.
Is it more, like, I think what Seth Greenberg is saying is enough with the five-star talent. Give me five-star grinders.
No, that don't sound like what he's saying at all to me.
To me it is.
He said the coach, and I quote, lost his edge in terms of living the game 24/7.
Yeah.
It ain't got nothing, like, you can have the grinder, the no-star prospect that's a grinder, but the coach ain't grinding. So how are the players going to grind? If the coach ain't living it 24/7, which is what those UMass Cal teams did, then why would we expect these talented players to have the kind of edge and the toughness that it takes to go deep tournament run? You just wouldn't.
That's a learned behavior.
That is a learned – that either coaching it or you're letting it happen. And if Coach Cal doesn't have his edge, and that's what Coach Seth Greenberg said, he's lost his edge – then the players ain't going to have no edge. So it doesn't matter how talented they are, they ain't going to be able to go far in the tournament.
All right, coming up, the latest with Shohei Ohtani. Some new information, new news. We will get to that next. It's Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
As Small said, this is becoming the worst nightmare for Major League Baseball. The latest here, representatives of Los Angeles Dodgers superstars from ESPN.com, Shohei Ohtani, have contacted law enforcement agencies and asked them to investigate a massive theft of money from the player, a source with direct knowledge told ESPN on Thursday. After Wednesday's season opening game in South Korea, Dodgers officials called a clubhouse meeting and told players a negative story was coming out later in the day. A team official said, and Mizuhara apologized, that's the translator, saying he had a gambling addiction. It was then the official said that Ohtani understood for the first time that this was happening and began asking questions. Tisha Thompson, ESPN investigative reporter, was on Greeny 10 a.m. to noon Eastern here on ESPN Radio and explained the situation from yesterday.
Ohtani, who he's not fluent in English, is my understanding. I've gotten that from lots and lots of people. But he's now been in the United States long enough where he can piece together enough words. And he was sitting there and he thought something didn't sound right. And after the meeting concludes, there's meetings, another interpreter is brought in. Ohtani, according to these two sources close to Ohtani's camp, say this is when he learned that there were any bank transfers, and when he discovered that money was missing in his bank account. The next thing we know is there is a statement that comes from the lawyers alleging massive theft. They don't name who did it. They just say authorities will be contacted.
So Jeff Passan, ESPN senior MLB insider, followed up with Tisha Thompson, had to say on the Pat McAfee show, talking about Major League Baseball and their involvement in this.
There's a lot of like, yeah, of course the league is going to sweep this under the rug. That's what they do. It's in their best benefit to do so. There's one issue with that. The FBI is not going to sweep this under the rug. Like when federal authorities are involved in looking at a crime, they're not looking at this like Shohei Ohtani because he's the best baseball player on earth warrants preferential treatment. They're looking at this like there were crimes that were committed. And our duty is to figure out who, in committing these alleged crimes, was involved and what their parts were. And so I think ultimately the story will come out and we will get a full accounting of what happened here.
Well, that's good because we need a full accounting of what happened here, because as this story evolves, we need definitely full accounting on what happened with these funds. But as the story is continuing, it keeps changing. The story keeps changing. Ohtani's involvement and his knowledge of what is going on here, that keeps changing. The fact that now all of a sudden we are finding out that the translator told the team what was going down, and that's when Ohtani first heard about this. I just feel like as this evolves, I have more questions and very little answers. And I don't think that baseball is going to be able to sweep this under the rug, because you have your marquee player on a team that is a super team that everyone's paying attention to, involved with gambling and high sums of money with gambling. This is not going away until people get answers.
I'm tired of the spin, man. I feel like I'm looking at a washing machine. Like it's just so much spin because the story keeps changing. And that's the part that I don't get. Like, they try to have an explanation for why the story is changing, because it was initially reported that both Matsuhara and Ohtani sat down together and made these transfers to cover the gambling debts of Matsuhara. But then it's supposedly a massive theft 24 hours later when the story is getting ready to break for the first time. And then on top of that, yesterday, we get the information from Ohtani's camp that they want the FBI to investigate this massive theft that was perpetrated on their client, Ohtani. Well, here's the problem. The FBI was investigating this anyway. This was something that they were looking into anyway. Like, they were investigating the bookmaking scheme in Southern California anyway. That was happening, whether you asked them to investigate it or not. So it feels like even more spin, because we want to get out in front of this to make sure that Ohtani disavows any of the behaviors, any of the actions that might have been deemed to be illegal by Matsuhara. It just feels like this is all being done to try to insulate Ohtani. And in the process, it's leaving a lot of speculation and, dare I say, skepticism around how much he was actually aware of and when he found out about it. I have a real problem with how this thing is being purported to us by the people in Ohtani's camp and by the Dodgers as a whole. It feels like they're putting up this wall to try to protect him, and that there's more information that is yet to come out about this deal.
Just to hypothetically play devil's advocate on all of this, what did Ohtani do wrong?
What did he do wrong?
Well, depending on his level of knowledge and or involvement, he is tied to someone who is doing illegal gambling right now. This is what we know. Somehow he's tied to this person. We don't know to what level or to what degree. But
yeah, because, I mean, if he knew about it, then all of a sudden we start going down a slippery road. Was he complicit in Matsuhara committing wire fraud? Like, you're talking about sending funds to an illegal bookmaking operation in Southern California. That's a crime.
Right.
So did he know about it? Did he facilitate that? Like, you're asking what he did wrong. That's a big something wrong that he could have done. So I guess that's where you start to see
right. The
potential for a deviation from the facts that were originally going to be reported as of Tuesday night.
Right.
So the story absolutely changed. Now, I don't know whether or not that's the case, whether or not Otani was aware, because he is claiming now, or his camp is claiming now, that he had no knowledge of what this interpreter was doing. But I don't know the norms around baseball when it comes to the interpreters, but I struggle to believe that an interpreter is going to have access of millions upon millions of one of these players' dollars, and the financial advisors, the team around him, nobody bats an eyelash.
Up until this point also, we are led to believe that there was no betting on baseball, that it was other sports, not baseball. But as more information comes out, if Otani is connected to this person in some way and we find out there's involvement and there was betting on baseball, that's where things get very convoluted and very serious.
So I asked the question the way I asked to understand this for all of us, because when you say, is he connected to this person, the person is not the translator, it's to the illegal bookmaker. And I believe per baseball rules, if you have any kind of contact, interaction, business dealings with an illegal bookmaker like that, that in theory is an automatic suspension from the sport, right? So this is the point of when we're asking, what did he do wrong? If you're saying simply, let's spin it like Otani's the greatest friend in the world. I'm making this up. And he just wanted to do a solid for one of his guys who was losing money.
Well, I need a friend like that. I'll tell you what.
But
I'm just saying, if he simply wired the money from his account to person X because he wanted to help out his friend, I believe under baseball rules, that would trigger a suspension. Because now you are interacting with illegal bookmakers. See Pete Rose.
But let me ask you this question. Because there's so much yet to be determined, because there's yet so much that we don't know, is this a situation now where Rob Manfred needs to set Shohei Ohtani aside as the baseball season continues to gear up as we get ready for opening day next week?
Commissioner's list kind of thing? Like the NFL.
Like, you're still going to get your money. You're still going to get paid. But we can't have you associated with the Dodgers or the sport right now because of this mess. Because this is the third rail for baseball. The integrity of the sport is on the line. With so many other things have challenged the integrity of the sport. Mm-hmm. And the fans are just now starting to get back on board with where baseball is going. Can you afford for Shohei Ohtani to be a part of this? I get the arguments as why you couldn't afford for him not to be out there. But can you afford for Shohei Ohtani to continue to compete knowing that this is going to be an ominous cloud over Major League Baseball as he continues to be front and center playing the game?
Knowing baseball, they are going to wait until they absolutely have to remove him from this game. From an eyeballs perspective, from an entertainment perspective, as long as he's out there, people are going to be watching him and people are going to be paying attention.
You know what's interesting? We have this standard for coaches and general managers, and we say ignorance is not an excuse. Given the circumstances, given what's happening with this interpreter who's supposed to be his best friend, can Shohei Ohtani hide behind ignorance being an excuse as to why he shouldn't have to face any consequences or at least not be a part of the sport for the foreseeable future?
TBD is my answer. I don't know the answer, right? And just to be clear, like, we're not convicting nor accusing, nor am I saying, or is anyone saying, he needs to be arrested or suspended. We're saying we don't know. Right.
But if there's a paper trail
to all of this, suspension and legal trouble would come along with it potentially if this actually exists.
I guess my whole point is this is going to be a story whether he plays or not. I acknowledge that. But the fact that he's out there makes it even bigger. If he continues to play, if he continues to show, like, it's going to make it bigger. That's all anybody is going to be talking about. It's not going to be opening day. My whole question is there enough out there, and with the federal investigation looming and with the connection and how the proximity to this scandal that Shohei Ohtani has, is it in baseball's best interest to allow him to play in the short term? I'm not saying that you got to take away his money. I'm not saying that. But like you said, a commissioner's list like the NFL has, is it in your best interest if you're Rob Manfred to set him aside and say, hey, you're going to have to be over here until more of this gets resolved and until you get absolved of any wrongdoing?
I'll just tell you this. Time and time again in sports, I've seen talent trump anything else. And I have no doubt that that will be the case here until it has to change.
Canny or Canty, brought to you by Grainger. Next, we're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Time now for a round of Canny or Canty, brought to you by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by today. All right, Canny or Canty, take positive information and not make it negative on this show, because I just passed along word from our buddy Brad Carson, 92.9 in Memphis, saying some nice things about the show, and somehow everybody around here spun it negatively. Why? Why can't we be positive? This coming from me. I'm as glass half empty as could be.
You really are.
Okay, see, did you have to do that? All right, forget it. All right, now, first one here. I'm done with you all.
You're not feeling very positive coming from you right now, Evan.
No, it's not.
Yeah, Evan, why did you lead us up the segment with some negativity?
The vibes are off.
We were all pumped to do Canny or Canty, and then you come in with this negative stuff?
Yeah, geez, so negative.
I mean, it's why Michelle hosts positive programming. She hosts it.
That's right.
Can Coach Cal win another title? Canny or Canty, brought to you by Grainger.
I'm going to say he can't, and I know that talent has never been an issue for Coach Cal, but when Seth Greenberg says, and I quote, he's lost his edge in terms of living the game 24-7, how can I expect that your team is going to have success, especially when you have one and nones going up against teams that have been together 3-4 years? It's just not going to happen. The tournament doesn't lend itself to that. So I'm going to say we're done seeing Coach Cal get to and win national titles.
What about this one? Can Ant-Man win MVP? Sixth best odds. I think it's plus 10,000 right now.
Listen, the Minnesota Timberwolves are right there. And this guy is making sure that they don't fall out of contention for the number one overall seed in the Western Conference. If they were able to grab the one seed, then yeah, I think you could make a case that Ant-Man should win MVP. If they could survive the loss of Karl Anthony Towns for weeks, Rudy Gobert in recent weeks, and then, of course, Naz Reid, who went out a week ago, if they can survive all of those losses, their entire front court, and find a way to still grab the number one seed in the Western Conference, then this guy's got to be the MVP of the league. Listen to what Draymond Green said after their big win against the Memphis Grizzlies. He said, yeah, we start a road trip over the weekend against the Minnesota Timberwolves, and if anybody's paying attention, Ant-Man is going to be the future face of the league. We have that conversation all the time, and that dude is it. That's what Draymond Green is saying. Game recognized game, man. People need to get on board. If they get the number one seed, Ant-Man will be the MVP of this league.
All right, next one. Canny or Canty, brought to you by Grainger. Can Golden State make the playoffs? Plus 160, yes. Minus 200, no.
Listen, they got a little bit of a softer schedule down the stretch, so I'm always going to bet on the greatness of Steph Curry. So I'm going to say, yes, the Golden State Warriors can make the playoffs. They can get out of the play-in. Now, here's the thing. They got some people that are right behind them for that 10th spot in the West. Pay attention to the Houston Rockets. The Houston Rockets ain't far off, so the Golden State Warriors better make sure they don't slip. But when you look at their remaining schedule, you have to feel confident that Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, they'll find a way to get it done.
Canny or Canty, can the Pelicans avoid the play-in tourney?
The injury to Brandon Ingram is scary, and we'll find out more information. They're going to do an MRI today, but Brandon Ingram took a nasty spill in the third quarter. I mean, when his knee I guess, shifted the way that it did, and then he had to be carried off the floor. It didn't look great. And then the schedule gods are not favorable for New Orleans either. I mean, they've got 13 games left. 10 of those games are against winning teams that are already in the playoff hunt. I don't know if they can hang on to one of those top six spots in the West, especially with things being so closely contested. Think about it. There's only two games separating them from the eight-seeded Sacramento Kings. So that's how close things are in the Western Conference. I don't know if they're going to be able to hang on to a top six spot.
They play tonight as well at Miami, just FYI on that.
Good luck with that.
Well, I mean, they don't, yeah, and right away. So you have to assume Ingram doesn't play at least tonight.
No, he's not going to play tonight, yeah.
All right, next one. Kenny or Canty, can the Vikings move up to draft a quarterback? Minus 140 to draft J.J. McCarthy at a Michigan Pro Day today. It's best odds.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best odds to draft J.J. McCarthy. They angled last week to get an additional first-round draft pick. So they're going to package together picks to move inside of the top 10. I absolutely think they're going to move up to draft the quarterback. That's why you make those types of moves. And when you think about the timeline that the Minnesota Vikings have with the talent that they've been able to assemble, you got Jordan Addison, a former first-round pick from a year ago. You got Justin Jefferson, who wants a brand-new deal. You got a solid offensive line that's anchored by Christian Darrisaw and Brian O'Neill. Like, you've got pieces in place to have success. You just got to have a trigger man. You got to have a quarterback. And I'm sorry, Sam Darnold does not inspire or invoke a lot of confidence, especially in that division when you've got Jared Goff, you've got Jordan Love, and you're going to have Caleb Williams. The Minnesota Vikings got to get a quarterback. And J.J. McCarthy seems like that guy, so absolutely the Vikings are moving up. They are going to take a quarterback at the top of this year's draft.
All right, last one. Add on here. Canty or Canty, can Shohei Ohtani stay eligible to play for 162 games this season? I'm trying to leave that as open-ended as could be. What I'm saying is, can he stay eligible? Meaning, we've just discussed the idea of him, could he be on that commissioner's list while they're trying to figure out this gambling situation with his interpreter? Nobody is suggesting that he has done anything wrong. Nobody is suggesting he has done anything right. What we are suggesting is, we don't know yet. Can he or can he stay eligible for 162 games?
I'm going to say he can't. And our producer, Pat Costello, sent us this during the break. It's the MLB rules and bylaws. And it says in Section 3, Section D, Part 3, when it comes to gambling, for the purposes of this provision, an illegal bookmaker is an individual who accepts, places, or handles wagers on sporting events from members of the public as a part of a gaming operation that is unlawful in the jurisdiction in which the bets are accepted. I mean, it seems like it's pretty clear cut that the proximity that Shohei Ohtani has to his interpreter and the relationship that the interpreter has with the Southern California bookmaker, it's a slippery slope that presents a real problem for Commissioner Rob Manfred. I don't see how this investigation gets resolved and completely absolves Shohei Ohtani of any potential wrongdoing.
In other words, if the initial story that Tisha Thompson first reported, which is that the interpreter had horrible gambling debts and Ohtani kind of helped him out of those as a friend, if he actually wired money to this guy by baseball rules, if that is proven to be true, even if he never bet anything and did anything wrong, if that is what happened, then it could result in a suspension.
Yeah, I just think the most plausible explanation for all of this would lend itself to Shohei Ohtani getting suspended. Now, if we're going to believe what's being purported by the Dodgers in Ohtani's camp, then it's not going to be an issue. But it seems so far-fetched that a massive theft to the tune of $4.5 million would have happened without Shohei Ohtani having no knowledge of it before Wednesday when Matsuhara addressed the team. I can't buy that one, Smalls. It's hard for me to accept that he had no knowledge of this. Now, that's what he's saying. It's innocent until proven guilty. But, you know, the federal government is going to do a deep dive into what's going on. And you know, we'll see what ends up happening. We don't have any answers. I'm not going to pretend like I know everything. I just know that what they're explaining to me seems more far-fetched than the most plausible explanation.
Also, if that was their story from the beginning and they stuck to it this entire time, it might be easier for me to believe it. But it feels like every day the details of this keep changing.
Meaning that, hey, I did my guy a solid. I know I shouldn't have done that. This is my guy. I'm going to ride or die with this guy. I made a mistake. Shouldn't have helped him out the way I did, right? If that's the initial story, like, hey.
That was the initial story, yeah.
Yeah.
Or from the beginning, it was like, this was a massive theft. I have no idea how this happened. We're looking into it. If the story was the same throughout the entirety of this, of revelation, I guess, because we're still figuring out the details of this, I would have an easier time believing it, even though it's far-fetched. But the fact that it keeps changing, I'm like, what? Why is it changing? What are we trying to cover up here?
Well, and here's the thing. Like, the fact that it changed, we were trying to put our finger on why the story would change in 24 hours. And I think based on the rules that Pat just sent us from Major League Baseball and based on the laws overall and the federal government investigating, we now know why. To try to disassociate himself from what Matsuhara did with the illegal bookmaker.
Can he or can't he? Brought to you by Granger, CC Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Yes, for the ones who get it done. I guess this is not for Kentucky and Coach Cal. Granger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, time to win some money.
Canty's best bet.
I'm talking dollar bill, y'all. We're chasing that bag, y'all.
Of the night.
All right, best bet of the night. Our best bet didn't work out yesterday. Obviously, Kentucky was a part of that. Busted our bracket and cost you guys a lot of money. For that, I apologize. But today, we're going to change it up. We're going to get back on the horse. We're going to get back to our winning ways with March Madness. So we're going to the tourney, and we're going to go with the number 4 seed Auburn Tigers, the Fighting Bruce Pearls, over Yale. And we're going to put down 9.5 on that one. So the Auburn Tigers are laying 9.5. Well, we're teasing it down to 9.5. We're going to take the Duke Blue Devils in another 4-13 matchup. And Duke's going to be laying 9.5 or tease it down to 9.5 in that one. Then we're going to take the Alabama Crimson Tide, laying 6.5, teasing it down to 6.5 against the College of Charleston. So we got Alabama laying 6.5 today. We've got Duke laying 9.5 today. And we've got Auburn laying 9.5 today. And that three-leg teaser, that three-team teaser, pays out at plus 284.
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
All right, we got some fun moments from yesterday in and around sports. Duquesne, they won yesterday. They beat BYU. If you remember BYU, that was Hembo from Greeny's Big Pick. He came in here and said, hey, pick BYU. They're going to make a run. And they lost, so that made us happy. Not about BYU, but about Hembo getting it wrong. But Duquesne had an interesting moment here. So a professor at Duquesne, Robert Healy III, sent a message to his students after Duquesne beat BYU in the first round. He said, class canceled due to March Madness. Go celebrate. I'll figure it out, Professor Healy. He is going to join us on Greeny today at 11:30 a.m. Eastern time, Professor Healy. So, yes, he canceled class because of the NCAA tournament. It feels like the right thing to do.
Yeah, you know that nobody's going to want to show up anyway because everyone's celebrating, and they really should take advantage of this opportunity because it's going to be short-lived once they reach my Illinois Fighting Illini in the next round.
Oh, here she goes.
Wow.
Here she goes.
Shots fired.
She turned that way.
Enjoy it now, Duquesne.
Wow. Already talking junk about Duquesne. All right, next one. This is a fascinating thing. Javon Kinlaw of the Jets was on NFL Live, and Laura Rutledge and company were interviewing him. And, well, he gave some interesting takes about the kind of food he likes to eat.
One more Jets note, you guys. New defensive tackle Javon Kinlaw had an interesting food take he revealed yesterday.
I eat squirrels.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, snakes, rabbits, anything.
Okay.
I like to fish, hunt. I love fashion. And I'm a cool dude.
Just a cattle like...
Okay, this went on where Kimberly Martin was then grossed out by this with specifically the rabbit because she said she had a rabbit as a pet. And Damian Woody, our buddy, admitted to eating squirrel and said that squirrel meat is actually very good and lean and nutritious. Have you guys ever had squirrel, snake, or rabbit?
No, but I've had horse.
You've eaten horse.
Yeah, when I lived in Italy in college, I lived in Verona, Italy, in northern Italy, and the delicacy of the city was cavallo, which is horse meat.
Yeah, I've never I've never eaten squirrel. I've never had horse. I have had raccoon, though.
You've eaten raccoon?
Yeah, my maternal grandmother used to make a little stew pot with raccoon, yeah.
How was it?
It's outstanding.
You good?
Outstanding.
What's wrong with our show?
Outstanding.
I'm going to vomit.
It's outstanding.
Nuno's a big rabbit guy.
Rabbit's great.
Oh, duck's
rabbit,
good.
Rabbit is outstanding. Duck is chef's kiss.
I don't know why we're okay with eating some animals and not others.
I don't know. I'm kind of grossed out right now.
Why are you grossed out?
I'm with Kimberly. Kimberly was grossed out by all of it. But snake was the one that really got them like,
I won't eat snake. I'm terrified of snakes. The thought of eating one even scares me. I won't do it.
I'm with you on that.
So wait, what do we have on our show resume for weird foods? We have, you said raccoon. I'm writing this down. Raccoon. Smalls, you said horse.
Yep. I've also had alligator.
Alligator.
Very good.
Outstanding.
Those little gator bites nuggets, that you can get. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very good.
Rabbit. I don't think rabbit is far-fetched. But
yeah, rabbit. Yeah.
I think I probably had rabbit. Duck, obviously.
Yeah, duck's on a regular menu, right?
Chicken livers?
Regular menu. If it's on like a regular menu.
What's that, pate? Isn't pate liver?
Yeah, pate is liver. I don't know if it's chicken liver.
I mean
fried chicken livers.
Oh, no, never
chicken
had
gizzards?
How do we feel about that? Because those are good.
Those are outstanding.
A gizzard?
Those are real good, yeah.
They're chicken gizzards. So outstanding.
Never had
gizzards
it.
Are outstanding.
I'll try it, though.
Yeah, they're outstanding.
I'm down.
Anybody else back there with weird food that they've eaten?
No, Javonte and I are horrified.
I'm with you guys.
What are we doing? What happened to chicken and beef? What are we doing?
What about pickled pig feet?
No.
What?
Pickles? Pig feet is great. Pig ear?
Yeah. Hold on. Yeah. So when they're pickled, is it?
They're like in a jar. They're in a jar. Yeah.
But pickled. How do you just like eat it with your hand?
You eat it, yeah.
Huh. I've never seen that or had
it.
Again, I would try.
Pig feet, pig knuckle, yeah.
I'll try almost anything
you.
Once.
Thank you, Canty.
Yeah.
I won't knock it until I've tried
it. I just thought these were normal.
Raccoon, that one got me.
Listen, my mom is from Utahville, South Carolina.
There you go.
Spelled with an E, not a U. There's one stoplight in the entire town.
So wait, how country. Do you spell that?
Utahville.
But with
E-U-T-A-W.
Oh, wow.
Like the Utes?
Utahville.
No, Utah. Not like
Utah,
the Utes.
Utahville, South Carolina.
The other way now.
Spent every
Utes.
Summer there
the two
as a
Utes.
Kid.
Oh, Utes. Yeah. Okay, got it. I'm
They're responsible for my eclectic palate.
There you go.
Have you guys ever had matzo balls?
Yes.
Yes. Of
okay.
Course, yeah.
I've had matzo ball soup.
Okay.
From
good.
New York City.
Just making sure.
How can you be from New York City and not have matzo balls?
Just making sure. Kreplach? Have you ever had kreplach?
No. What is that?
Probably have. I just don't know the name.
It's like
of it.
Like the Jewish dumpling. It's like a dumpling.
Oh yeah.
It's
ooh, I bet they're great.
Yeah. My grandmother used to make those. All right. Well, I'm gonna vomit. I gotta be honest with you.
Which one? To try raccoon.
Would you rather?
I'm not gonna try raccoon.
Would you rather
I think you'd
try?
Like it if you didn't know what it was.
There is no way.
I think you would like it if you didn't know what it was.
Would you rather try raccoon or horse, Evan? If you had to choose. If you had to choose.
I'll play horse.
No, if you had to pick one.
A little Shetland pony. Evan eat a little steak from a Shetland pony.
I'm pretty sure it was like a Mustang.
What about deer?
Deer is great. That's not even.
Oh, deer jerky is awesome.
Deer is outstanding.
Yeah,
but that's not like so crazy.
If you grow up in the Midwest, you're eating deer.
Yeah.
What does raccoon taste like? Don't say chicken.
Is it tender?
Yeah, it's I would actually probably say it's It's not that far from the deer meat type of thing.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's you would cook, like, it's cooked differently. So like usually I'm used to having it in a stew. So
is it gamey?
No, it's not too crazy. At least not the way my grandmother.
Oh no, it's crazy. It's very crazy.
It's not
I'm
crazy.
Really struggling. I'm struggling right now. I got to be honest with you. I'm like getting sick.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know why this is grossing me out, but it is. What about squirrel? Nobody's eaten squirrel?
I haven't had squirrel.
We got to remember
quail.
Nuno, this is on you.
I've
when
had
Damian
quail.
Woody comes in next week, we got to get him to break this down because he was like all in on trying to sell squirrel as a delicacy.
I'd try it.
Greeny coming up next. We're on to Monday. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.